I was thinking about my life when I was in my early 20s. I was watching the Navy SEALs like trials to become a Navy SEAL. And I'm watching this guy. And so in order to become a Navy SEAL, they have to swim all the way under the swimming pool, under the water, touch the wall, turn around underwater, and swim all the way back. And so this guy's swimming underwater. He touches the wall. He turns around. He's coming back, and he passes out. Passes out underwater, and he's gliding into the wall. He hits the wall. They're like, he passed. Perfect. They pull him out, resuscitate him. They said, the average person can't go that long without oxygen, but these guys are in awesome physical condition. They'll be fine. But as I'm watching this, I'm thinking, man, I think it would be really cool to do that. Minus the swimming. I don't like to swim. I can't swim. I would drown. But I mean the rest of it. I like to do that challenge. Or I think it'd at least be cool to go to basic training and go to boot camp and have somebody give me some discipline and go through that rigor. And now that I'm older, I don't want to do that. But when I was younger, I did. I honestly thought that sounded like a fantastic opportunity. Those of you that have been in the service are going, you have no clue what you're getting into. But it sounds cool. It sounds nice to have just that discipline imposed on me, have somebody train me. And of course, I don't want them to yell in my face and some of that stuff. I could leave that out, but I don't know. I think that would be nice. Even better, it'd be nice if, I don't know if we can find a major or somebody in the Army that would just take me under their wing individually and just train me. You know, like day by day, I'm going to teach you. I'm going to show you the ropes. And I think just there's been that desire in me. And so that's kind of where we're going. Looking this morning at, we're in a series called The Commands of Christ. And so Jesus said that we should join the Navy SEALs. No, he actually said, that we should make disciples, make followers of Christ. And that we should baptize, and then we should teach them to obey everything I've commanded you. So we're going through this series of what did Jesus command us? And also, on that same vein, what should we pass on to others? And I think it's really important as we go through this series, I've kind of been thinking about this, that we don't mistake how this works. The commands of Jesus are completely different than the Old Testament commands. Completely different than the Ten Commandments. Because the way it used to work is, if you follow all of these commands, you will receive righteousness and good standing with God. And we cannot fall into that mindset. And I do at times. But we have been given something completely different. I think it's really important we start there. We have been given righteousness from Jesus. We have right standing with God. And because of that, we have freedom to obey Him and to follow His commands. The commands of Jesus do not earn us any standing. They do not earn us any love. They do not earn us any position with God. We are given that freely through faith in what Christ has done for us. And I want to make sure we hear that. We don't, oh wow, okay, I used to have this old list of commands and now I have a new list of commands. It's not that. On the other hand, Paul says that in the start of Romans, that we should come to the obedience that comes from faith. The obedience comes from faith. The obedience does not produce something. So don't take this list home and go, oh man, if I check all these boxes, something great's going to happen in my life. It's like, no. If you have a relationship with Christ by faith in what He's done, because He died for us, He came into our world, paid a price for us, gave His life to us. And from that, we have freedom to walk with Him and obey Him and enjoy Him. And so, the command we're looking at this morning is follow me. And Jesus said this many times, come, follow me. We're going to check that out. What does it mean to follow me? By the way, my name is Dove, if I didn't meet you. I'm one of the pastors here. And this has been, as I've been exploring this, this has been one of the richest explorations for me. Just looking at what does it really mean to follow Jesus? And my hope this morning is that there's something really rich for each of us as we look into that. And so because that exploration for me has been so valuable, I want to give you some time to explore it on your own. And I think that might be one of the most valuable pieces of today. And so we're going to take 5 minutes. Why don't I pray first? And I'm going to have you just kind of look at what do you think it means? What does it mean to follow? What is that talking about? So let's pray. Father, thank you for this morning. Thank you for the freedom we have in Jesus. Thank you for the acceptance that we have. Thank you that you love us, even when we blow it and do ridiculous things. Thank you that you care about us so much. Thank you that you've given us right standing. God, I ask that you would teach us how to follow you out of response to you, out of appreciation for who you are. I ask that you would teach us this morning, that you would open our eyes to see you more. In Jesus' name, amen. So on the back of your handout, hopefully you got a handout, and just if you would jot down some thoughts on those questions, what does it mean to follow someone? And so there's 6 questions on there if you want to just take 5 minutes. All right. I don't know how many of you felt like you were back in school, but sorry, I was a high school teacher for 12 years, so I can't help it. You're going to have homework too, but... And I want to have a couple people throw out to that question, what does it mean to follow someone? If you want to just shout out what you think that means. It means you trust them. Yeah. That's huge, huh? How can you follow someone that you don't trust? You have to trust someone to follow. Anybody else? What does that mean to follow someone? You go the same direction. Yeah, your paths are in the same vein, same direction. You can't go this way and say, I'm following. Okay. I don't know how many of you thought if to follow someone, it's easy, actually. You just click on the button on Facebook, right? Twitter, you follow them, and then you get these random tweets, and you ignore them. And every now and then you go, oh, that's cool. Yeah, I'm following. Not really, right? That's not following, but... Or maybe if you think of somebody going somewhere, follow has these implications. If they're going to go climb Mount Kilimanjaro and they say, hey, you want to follow me on this? It means a lot. Okay, we are going. Our lives are going to be together, physically, everything. And it's going to require some trust. Just some thoughts I had. To follow someone, you have to let them lead you. And... in order to do that trust, you need to respect, appreciate, be inspired by them, or else you're not going to trust them. There's got to be something you see in that person of, okay, you're worth following, and then you have to embrace their ideas. So care about what they care about. Okay, this is important to you, now it's important to me. If I'm truly following, not just, you know, clicking the button, but you have to live out their plans in their time. Maybe the second one's even harder. It's like, yeah, I'll live out your plans, but in my time. Trust them to take care of you. I think a true leader takes care of those that are following. And we have to entrust ourselves to someone's care if we're going to follow. And so I want to go through a passage in Luke 5. That's kind of when some of the disciples started following Jesus. And so Jesus had a large group of followers that followed him. And then he also selected 12 individuals who were like his main disciples. And they were with him everywhere. And one of those is Simon Peter and his brother Andrew, and then two of their friends, James and John. And we're going to look at an account where they begin to follow Jesus. So if you want to grab a Bible or grab your phone and Google Luke 5, So it says, one day as Jesus was standing by the lake of Gennesaret, with the people crowding around him and listening to the word of God, he saw at the water's edge two boats left there by the fishermen who were washing their nets. He got into one of the boats, the one belonging to Simon, and asked him to put out a little from shore. Then he sat down and taught the people from the boat. When he had finished speaking, he said to Simon, put out into deep water and let down the nets for a catch. Simon answered, Master, we have worked hard all night and haven't caught anything. But because you say so, I will let down the nets. That's a pretty cool phrase of someone following. It doesn't make any sense to me. Look, I've fished for years, and we fished all night. And I know it's a waste of time, but whatever. If you say so, I'll do it. When they had done so, they caught such a large number of fish that their nets began to break. So they signaled their partners in the other boat to come and help them, and they came and filled both boats so full that they began to sink. A miracle. What a miraculous catch of fish when they expected to catch nothing. And I think for us, when we follow into places we don't understand, we see things we didn't expect. That's when God is able to do miracles. When Simon Peter saw this, he fell at Jesus' knees and said, go away from me, Lord. I am a sinful man. And I want to come back to that a few times during this message. What an interesting response. He sees the miracle. He sees how amazing Jesus is. And his response is to fall down and say, you don't realize I am so unworthy. I'm a sinful man. Go away from me. For he and all his companions were astonished at the catch of fish they had taken, and so were James and John, the sons of Zebedee, Simon's partners. Then Jesus said to Simon, don't be afraid. Don't sit there and dwell on your unworthiness or inadequacy. From now on you will catch men. So they pulled their boats up on shore, left everything, and followed him. What an amazing phrase. They left their nets, their boats, their father, and followed him. So just looking at that, as I think of the disciples who followed Jesus when he was here in a human body, and first of all, they met him. They saw something cool in him, and they got asked, hey, come follow me. And then they decided to say, yes, okay, I'm in. I'm going to leave my boats. I might be crazy. I'm going to follow you. And they left those normal lives behind, and then they hung out with him. They got to know him. They were with him wherever he went. And in that process of being with Jesus, it required them letting themselves be known. And so for 3 years, these guys hung out with Jesus. As far as I can tell, day and night. They slept where he slept. They saw everything he did. And most of that time was just, they were with him. And it doesn't really record some of that stuff that happened. But we went on a 3-day trip to the children's home in Juarez last year. And in 3 days with people, there things happen. There gets to be some friction. And there's people that say, I don't want to get up and have a devotional with everybody. I don't care. And there's people that say, I don't like the way you're leading. I feel like you don't care about my concerns. And it brings out stuff in us. And in that time, they had to let themselves get known. Like, okay, you're going to see the junk in my life. You're going to see the mornings I wake up and I don't care. I don't want to go where you're going. I want to sleep in today. And I don't care what the drill sergeant says, even though Jesus isn't a drill sergeant. But I'm sure if I was in boot camp, there'd be plenty of days I'd be like, okay, this was fun for 2 days. I'm not getting up this morning. I'm not making my bed. I'm not doing whatever. But it requires that, like, what's in us gets displayed. And it happened in them. And they said a lot of dumb stuff. It's amazing how often these guys are arguing, no, I'm the greatest. No, I'm the best disciple. No, when we're in heaven, I'm going to be like on this huge throne. You're going to be like down there. Like, come on, guys. Do you get it at all? But they learned from him. And from being with Jesus for 3 years, watching what he did, listening to what he taught, they became more and more like him. They became transformed from being with him. And then they began to do what he wanted them to do. And there's very little that's said of Jesus saying, hey, I want you guys to go do this. Most of it is just, you're with him. And he did send them out to go preach. He did send them out like, hey, go make some preparations for our Passover dinner. But for the most part, it's just hanging out with him, being a part of what he's doing, and then learning from their mistakes. They said a lot of dumb stuff. One time they're going through Samaria, and because they're going to Jerusalem, the Samaritans are like, no, you can't go through here. And the disciples say, they turn to Jesus, hey, should we call down fire from heaven and just annihilate these guys? Jesus is like, no. It'd be interesting to know exactly what he said. Like, you guys don't get it. You don't get to make plans. I'll tell you what are good ideas. I don't know what he said. Like, no, did you guys not hear I was talking about love and what they learned from their mistakes? So I've been thinking about us. How do we follow Jesus? And I came to this after some conversations. I came to the conclusion that we follow Jesus in the same way. But there's a big difference. Jesus isn't here in a human body. So can it still be in the same way? Obviously, there's going to be some differences in that, and we'll talk about that, but I think it's that same process. And so first, we have to see something amazing in Jesus and what he offers. And I don't know in your life if you've what you have seen in Jesus or seen in what he offers. But in my life, there was things that enticed me to Jesus. It's like, wow, I want that. I want what that guy's got, what he's offering. One of the things Jesus offers us is eternal life. What an amazing offer to live forever. Another thing Jesus offers us is freedom. He says he came to give us freedom. Freedom from all the junk that we just get stuck in. Freedom from the bondage. Freedom from being stuck in a fear of death our entire lives. He offers us freedom. What an amazing offer. He also offers us a sense of purpose. Oh, from now on, you will fish for people. I will give you something greater in your life than just whatever life you would have planned out for yourself. And I think for me, the greatest thing in Jesus is Jesus. Like, if you follow Jesus, you get to be with Jesus. And that's amazing. Whether he gives you anything, just you get to be with him. He also offers opening the door to have a relationship with the Father. He opens the door that we can be with God in this life and in after this life. We can truly have a relationship with God. And so if we see that, if we see him, see something amazing, then we count the cost, okay? What was that going to cost me? And then we make a decision. We commit to follow him. And everything else becomes second, even ourself. And I don't know what you guys wrote down of what are people in the world following. I feel like one of the big things we're following ourselves. Most of us don't really want to follow anybody except ourselves. And so in order to follow Jesus, say, okay, that means I'm not going to follow myself. And as Jesus says, and he said this to all of them, not just to the 12, whoever wants to be my disciples must deny themselves and take up their cross daily and follow me. And that's one of the phrases that I have pondered a lot in my life. Deny yourself, take up your death, and follow me. And so, as I've been pondering deny self, what that means to me is, well, first, what does it not mean? What it does not mean is beat yourself up. Deny myself means I'm miserable and I'm going to try to punish myself. That is not what it means. It does not mean deny myself means I really like chocolate, so I'm never going to eat chocolate again. I'm going to deny myself. I don't think that's true, what he's really saying. But a deny ourselves to me is saying, this is who I say I am, and I'm going to let go of that. These are my expectations. My life needs to go this way and have this ending. Saying, I let go of that. I let go of expectation of this is how my life must turn out. I let go of my agenda that says this is how things need to work. I let go of my understanding. This is what is true. This is what's right. This is the way things must be. And I say, I let go of that. I'm free to be taught, free to have a new understanding. What is it that makes us self? What is our self? What am I going to let go of? To me, the self is saying, these are how my needs must be met. And saying, I release that. I'm not going to say my needs must be met in this way. I deny myself. I let go of that. That view of self. Maybe it's my honor or reputation. This is who I am. How people see me, my honor, my perception in other people's eyes, I'm going to let go of that. I deny myself. I let go of self. And I wrote down, to me it means that every day I put aside what I think is true about me and let him define what is true about me. So I let go of that self that I'm put in a box and say, write your own box. Every day, you can make a new box for me. You can tell me who I am. And I don't know, there's probably lots of different things in that. One of the things, just to be really honest in my life, one of the places I see this is I struggle every week with a serious criticism of myself. And I've, even as I try to like not be critical of myself, on a weekly basis, at some point, I'm extremely hard on myself. And really critical, really, man, something's wrong, whatever I do, who knows what that is. But to me, it's letting go of that. I don't have to say who I need to be. Like, you define me. If you say I'm loved, if you say I'm righteous as I am, I'm going to let you tell me that. And this week I've had opportunities to do that. And I think I notice in our lives we have, this is like what we know is the truth of God. And sometimes, if we're delusional enough, we say, everything I believe is the truth of God. But in reality, what we believe, what we truly believe, is hopefully coming more in line with the truth of God. But we're not totally there. And I can preach all day. God loves you no matter what happens. No matter what failure you go through. And then I have a failure in my life and I go, yeah, but... And I see what I truly believe in that moment. And it's actually a gift. It's a gift in that moment to go, I don't fully believe this. And it's a gift to open ourselves up and say, I'm open to hear what you say. And in the moment of feeling like a loser, to allow myself to be loved, to be truly loved in that moment, and letting go of that sense of self. What does it cost to follow Jesus? I don't know what you guys wrote down, but I think it basically costs everything. Everything becomes second. And also, the sacrifice is small. It really costs nothing compared to what is gained following Jesus. So I think following Jesus costs everything and it costs nothing. Jim Elliot said it pretty well. He is no fool who gives what he cannot keep to gain what he cannot lose. He's no fool who gives up everything he's hanging on to in this life, which he can't ever keep, to gain the riches of Christ, to gain a greater relationship with God that he'll keep. And so, yeah, it costs, but it doesn't really cost. And so, how do we follow Jesus? Just like the disciples, we need to spend time with him and get to know him. And this is the main point that I want to give today. Our main call, if we want to follow Jesus, is to be with him. Just like the disciples, we need to be with him. We need to spend time and get to know him. But he's not here in a body. I can't just like invite him over for dinner. I can't like hunt down whatever where he's preaching and go sit there and listen to him. But he even said that it'll be better if I go. It's in one sense, it's much better what we have, because Christ is here and Christ is with us. As Paul says, we even have the mind of Christ. And so for our lives, I think we all know how we could spend time with Christ if we really thought about it. How could I spend time with Jesus? And I've been appreciating how important those times are. Those times of prayer, times of silence, times even like this morning of worship. And I recently heard someone said that we're all beginners in prayer. Like, I don't care if you've been praying for 40 years or you just started. We're all beginners in prayer. And that's okay. Prayer is, I don't know. Prayer is one of those things like so full of other stuff. And I mean, I'm sure none of us stood here and worshiped today and we're just like totally focused. Our lives are full of distractions and stuff. But may we take some time and pray and be with Jesus and hear him and listen to him, to be still, to read about him, and to allow his words to soak into us and teach us, and to be attentive as he speaks through his Spirit into our lives. And the cool thing is, when we are with Jesus, we allow ourselves to be loved and to love him. And like I was already sharing, I think that is one of the biggest challenges. To allow ourselves to be loved. When we want to hang on to, oh, I totally blew it. I'm such a whatever. Or, I don't really need love. I got everything going great for me. But to allow ourselves to be loved. Will we allow Jesus to love us in our best moments and in our worst moments? And in order to be with him, we have to let him love us. And then as we are with Jesus, we become more like him. And that's true of anybody. If you hang out with somebody a lot, you'll become like them. For good or for bad. And as we hang out with Jesus, as we spend time in his presence, we become like him. And some of those ways we become more like him, we become like him in love, in faith, and humility. And I think sometimes in life, we put so much effort into trying to be loving and trying to have faith and trying to have humility instead of spending time of just being with Jesus and letting those things come about as we are with him in his presence. And then when we're with Jesus, we do what he asks us to do. But I think even in our lives, like the disciples, there's a greater call to be with him than there is a call to do all this activity that we think he wants us to do. And part of that is when we follow Jesus, we accept that we will never be good enough, whatever that means. But Jesus is enough. Because I think it falls more on the leader than it does on the follower. It's Jesus takes care of us. It's his responsibility. He's good enough. And I can let go of that effort of just trying to be good enough and be with Jesus and walk with him. And that is enough. All right, so because of this, the homework I want to give you guys is Jesus, it says Jesus often withdrew to lonely places and prayed. Jesus often got away to places where no one else was and prayed. And if Jesus needed to get alone and pray, how much more do we need to get alone and pray? And so the homework is that idea. The homework is to go through the book of Mark. And I want you to try to do this, to find a time during the day, whenever that works for you. First, spend 2 minutes in silence, just to kind of let go of whatever's going on in you. And then read the chapter from Mark. Mark is 16 chapters. So if we do one a day, it would take a little more than 2 weeks. And then on the homework, to write down your thoughts. What did Jesus do? What did he say? And what's your reaction to that? Someone was saying to me that for them it's really valuable, instead of reading a whole chapter, just read a little chunk and read it really slowly. Digest each word. And so I want to encourage you in that too. Don't feel like you need to, if you don't want to read the whole chapter, don't. If you find one section that's really just, there's a lot in it, read it. Read through that. Think about it. Digest it a little bit. And then end with a few minutes in prayer about what you read, or just in silence, being with Jesus. And so, I don't know what habits you guys already have. I hope this would be a good starting point, not to take away from whatever spiritual disciplines you have. And then in a couple weeks, in 3 weeks, I'd love to get thoughts from people. What were some of the things that stuck out? As you looked at Jesus' life, what did you see that he did and that he said? And what's that response? And the goal is that we become more like him. And also that we learn how to be in his presence a little more and be with him. All right, let's pray. God, thank you. Thank you that we can be with you. Jesus, sometimes I feel like you're so far out of grasp. And sometimes I feel like you are so present that your words are just flowing right through me, that I know exactly what you're speaking to me. And again, I ask that you would open the eyes of our hearts to see you and to hear you. I ask that you would give each one of us the time and space to be alone with you, that you would impress yourself on us, that we would see your example and walk with you. I pray that each one of us would be more and more with you, that we would grow to spend time with you, enjoy you, and hear you. In Jesus' name, amen.